In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fuel, oil, and water, power, projection, and combat ready. Those are lifelines of a military ship. They ensure continuous propulsion, sufficiency, and operational readiness. That's all a matter of mission, of success. And that is why on the 210-foot Coast Guard cutter I was on, I took the sole engineering position of being the fuel oil water king. That's what they call it on the boat. Well, when it was offered to me, I did say yes. And why I did that, the real reason was because the fuel oil water king does not have to stand regular watch in the engine room like the rest of the department does. I thought that was a bonus. But the reason you don't have to stand watch is because you're actually on watch 24/7, in charge and responsible for all fuel and oil tanks, the water supply, and the handling equipment of all those things. There's a lot that goes into that. Fuel has to be transferred from the storage tanks to the main engine tanks when the levels go down, when they start to decline. And it can't be done just any old way either, because you have to take into account the listing, the balancing of the ship in the water so that it doesn't lean too much to one side. Oil. Gotta have oil on board. After so many operating hours, the main propulsion engines need the oil change. They never shut off out at sea and underway. The diesel engine generators are the same way. They have oil change hours that need done. What about water? Water sustenance. Sustenance for the crew. And fresh water is required in massive quantities for drinking, for food prep, for laundry, and for hygiene. So yes, there's a lot of storage tanks, but out at sea, you are not connected to the things like we have, like plumbing to our house. You have to make it. You have to make the water. You do it from the sea. How that's done is you bring it in through pumps and then have to direct it into a water purification system like large evaporators, and what that does is sift all the salt out of it, and it makes it potable. But as the fuel oil water king, you definitely do not get as much downtime as you thought. See, those measly four-hour standard watches, they actually get more sleep. And I remember one night getting woken up from my rack, and it was about 1 a.m. The watch stander comes to me and wakes me up. Hey, the fuel tanks need transferred. Oh, okay, so half asleep, I did what every other guy would have done on a military vessel that was all male and crew. I didn't change into my work clothes before trotting down to the engine room. I slid into my flip-flops and departed engineering berthing. That didn't go over too well with the engineer of the watch when he saw me in the gangway of the engine room walking down to the aux space. That's where the main fuel transfer controls were. And just wearing a V-neck t-shirt, boxer shorts, and flip-flops. He's waving and yelling from inside main control. I saw him through the window, but I had hearing protection on, so I pointed to my earmuffs as an excuse, you know, as I didn't understand what he was saying. But anyway, there were times like that. It took a while to operate and set up the controls and valves and whole gauge board to do that transfer right. So one night, that night I went in there dressed like that, I just ended up staying in the fuel transfer room, resting on the floor till everything was done. Fun stuff. And then on top of that, there's jet fuel. We took on a helicopter on board, and you have to keep that jet fuel pristine, or else when the helo flies, if there's any sediment in it, or it can dilute, down goes the helicopter. It's all about power, projection, and being combat ready. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are no different. All three are a matter of the mission: creation, redemption, sanctification. What the Father wills, the Son works, and the Spirit provides the power. So when you think about advanced systems, high tech, You can have no problem in our high-tech world understanding, yes, we need those buttons. We need those dials. They're critical. So then when it comes to the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, why does skepticism rush in? For our creed states, whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. They are co-eternal, not three lords, but one Lord, perfect God and perfect man. This is the Catholic faith. And whoever does not believe it firmly and with all your heart, mind, and soul, for that matter, it says at the very end, what? Cannot be saved. Now that's pretty scary stuff, isn't it? But so is a ship who goes dead in the water, which that happened to us one time, once when we took on some old diesel fuel. You know, diesel fuel has a shelf life. And it turns slimy, and engines don't like that. It was taken on board, and just while we're in the middle of patrol, the engines start bogging down and go and shut off by themselves. But I wasn't the fuel or water king at the time, so I don't have to take the blame. I always bring that up. But the fuel or water king should have caught that the fuel was bad. Tankers bring it into us while we're in port, and you're supposed to test it. Before you take it on, you can tell if it's good or not. Because if not, it becomes dangerous. It becomes dangerous when you lose mobility, power, projection, and combat readiness. And in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and verse 2 tells us, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Okay, so there we have two persons of the Trinity already, God the Father and the Spirit of God. But where is the third? And God said. There he is. God spoke. He spoke words. The words, let there be. Now you may think that doesn't insert the Son explicitly. That's why you need the Apostle John to clear it up in the first verses of his gospel, where he writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. By the way, the exact word he uses in the Greek for beginning is the word Genesis. In the Genesis was the Word. Genesis means beginning. So there you have it. So the Athanasian Creed is right. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. So back to Genesis. On the sixth day of creation, God said, let us make man in our image. That's Trinitarian language there. A three-part being. So if you believe you have a body, soul, and spirit, that's how it was in the beginning. Until the fall tainted that image of God. And then from then on out, our bodies, souls, and spirits reap the consequences. Now the body decays, the soul is sin-natured, and our natural spirits born unholy, dead in the water. Not combat ready to fight the evil foe who brought in unbelief to the garden. Yes, what happens is the serpent becomes the fuel oil water king in the garden, trying to intentionally sabotage the ship. So what do we do now? We can do nothing but get woken up and see how God will raise up a new king that he would set on his descendants' throne, whose flesh would not see corruption, whose soul would not be abandoned to Hades. Hades is the messed up, broken, and darkened ship of the evil one, mind you. And so the will of the Father comes to pass. The work of the Son is fulfilled. The Father's will And the Holy Spirit fueled and projected him through it all. Could each one individually save us from eternal damnation? Well, yes, but they are one, and they are in communion one with another. Our God is a God of community, therefore, and he is never alone. He was never by himself in the beginning. And in that way, he created us never to be alone either. The Trinity has all the authority. The Trinity name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is one name. And it is a majestic name in all the earth. What is man that you are mindful of him? Man were to be God's property keepers, made to have dominion over that which he created. But we can all agree that the fuel, oil, and water that man lived by was not good enough. All the transferring and trying to balance and recirculation, still not enough. But God knew, God saw, God made a new way. But he never withdrew his name. He never abandoned it or let it see corruption. There is a restoration needed, a rebuild. But if you can no longer get yourself to the shipyard for a haul out, you're going to have to get towed there. That's the same thing as losing power, as failing, as being sickly. Something has to be filtered. Something has to be replaced. And you know that time when the engines died, what we had to do was pump out all that bad fuel from each cylinder, prime each one thereafter with new fuel. There were two main engines, each 16 cylinders, and each cylinder had their own fuel pump too. That wasn't fun. But neither was Jesus's crucifixion and death. His work of 3 days took on the sludge of all sludge, your sin, and then through his body and blood made the new fuel, the ability to gain power, projection, and be combat ready for the life of the world to come. And he promises that. After he rose from the dead, he promised by a means for you to get all that. As he gives to the command to the disciples, go. That means you can move now. Go and make disciples, the crew of all nations. How? By baptizing them into the name. There it is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is why we confess the three in one and one in three, and we hold to that faith. The name change, the relationship change, and the forward motion that our baptisms give us. The faith that the body will be raised again anew, without flaw, no more decay. The soul, without sin, cleansed in his righteousness. And the proof of this mighty change is sealed when the Spirit takes control of your spirit. The great exchange that takes place at the font, through water. So that now we, the church, in this vessel, this boat, are ready. Being made ready for anything that comes our way. That's the necessity of the Christian faith, to have the Trinity. Now what we do is just observe all this. We observe it all through word and sacrament, ever increasing our faith, ever being a mighty help in trouble through that cross system of belief that works, is alive. That system does work. It is power, it is alive, and it makes us ready for takeoff. Remember, Jesus said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end." How? Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Defending us from all adversities, being divine, he can serve you in unity. And we celebrate this truth here and now in unity because we're gathered as one body. But how can that be that we're one body if there is more than a few of us in this room? Because we are newly created in his image once again. Therefore, we do not divide the substance of the church, which gets powered, projected, and made ready through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is one God, now and forever, carrying us through the waters of life. In his name, once again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.